You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
Good morning, Every Nation GTA. My name is Keith Tower. I bring you greetings from one of the only warm places it feels like in the Northern Hemisphere, sunny Orlando, Florida. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be with you here at Every Nation GTA. I am so fond of your pastors, Pastor Bert and Pastor Sheila, are truly some of the finest saints in the kingdom of God. And you are a blessed church to be a part of their leadership. And obviously, you're in a great church. If you're tuning in and Every Nation GTA is not typically your home church, let me encourage you to come explore a little bit further and check out this church. It's a fantastic church. And gosh, I love the city of Toronto. I would love to be able to come up and visit you all in person someday. Over my 7 years of professional basketball, I had a lot of opportunities to come up to Toronto and unfortunately lose to the Raptors plenty, but I don't want to pick at a wound. I'm really looking forward to serving you through this Let's Talk series, both this morning and on Saturday at the mental health seminar that we'll have on Zoom. And this is, I'm so thankful for a church like yours that has valuable and important discussions on mental and emotional health, not just in the middle of a crisis, but if you can remember all the way back to the BC days before COVID, this time of year, every year, you're speaking about mental and emotional health. And it matters that we speak about mental and emotional health before we're in a crisis situation, as well as we're in a crisis situation and post-crisis situation, because there's kind of three stages to walking through mental health. There's a resistance stage, there's a resilience stage, and there's what we call a recovery stage. Resistance is what was happening prior to the current situation in which we find ourselves, with high stress levels and high depression levels and high anxiety levels here with the COVID and all the ramifications around it. And in resistance is where you're working before you're in a situation where your mental and emotional health are stretched. It's where you're learning coping mechanisms, you're having important conversations, we're destigmatizing the things that you have been doing in prior years in your Let's Talk series. And that sort of starts to build up our immunity system, if you will. It gets good kind of mental and emotional antibodies coursing through our thought life and our brain and our emotions, and helps us have good coping skills for when the inevitable crises of life hit us. That's the resistance stage. Then there's a stage we call resilience, which is when life hits us hard and kind of takes our breath away or knocks us off our feet, and we find ourselves maybe knocked down and trying to figure out how to get back. We can point to and rely on all those coping skills we learned during resistance and get ourselves back up and start moving. Recovery is post sort of incident, if you will, where we have an opportunity sometimes maybe to talk to a specialist that can help us make this life journey go a little bit more smoothly. I liken this mental health journey to taking a walk. Resistance is where you would learn the skills to be able to walk in such a way that you don't just generally catch your foot and trip. So under normal circumstances, you have the skills to be able to walk smoothly. Resilience would be if for whatever reason you get knocked down, you fall down, life tackles you, you trip, something's knocked out in the sidewalk, and when you go down, resilience is now I have skills from resistance that I can apply to myself or the types of relationships I've built like you have in Every Nation GTA, in your small groups, where people can come alongside you and just help you get back up, and you can simultaneously help yourself get back up on your feet to solid footing and start to journey. Recovery would be for those moments where, you know, sometimes the fall causes a little more damage than other falls. Sometimes we trip and fall and break a leg, right? And it's not enough to just apply what I had done when I was walking smoothly. I may have to talk to a specialist. I may have to talk to a surgeon in a physical sense. And there might be a little bit more of a recovery process specialized to the nature of the fall and the nature of the injury that I had. But generally speaking, when we're having a Let's Talk series and we're having conversations about mental health, before the crisis, I'm building up a resistance that I can walk well and walk through it. When a crisis hits, when anxiety is high, when depression and the dark cloud starts to come on, I start to sink with resilience, I can use some of those skills and get back up. And we're going to talk about those skills today and on Saturday. And then recovery is just knowing that it's okay to sometimes be hurting and need to talk to somebody who may have a different level of expertise to help us get moving again. Now, the reality is none of us are doing great right now during the pandemic, if we could be honest. We were not designed to go through what we've been going through since last March. If you are struggling in any way, if you feel like your anxiety is high, if your relationships feel like they're, getting stretched and are on their last thread, if you look at your children and they're like, you are driving me nuts. Maybe you find it hard to get out of bed and get moving in the morning. If you feel like you're not doing well, or you feel like you're not yourself, can I just tell you, you're normal? It's not that something is wrong with you. It's that this is an abnormal situation. And if you find yourself anxious, if you find yourself struggling with depression, if you find your stress level a little bit higher, you are having a very normal human reaction to an absolutely abnormal situation. You and I were not designed to go through the lockdowns and the kind of things that we have. We weren't created by God to do this. I know early on, like in March, when it seemed like things were closing, and here in the U.S., they kept saying, we're going to have 2 weeks to flatten the curve, 2 weeks of lockdowns, 2 weeks of isolation. And man, it felt like initially like an introvert's dream. They're like, oh my goodness, 2 weeks where I don't have to see anybody. How great is that going to be? And introverts quickly discovered a couple things. Number one, they were locked in a house with people. So there goes the introvert's dream. But they also found out that even though we like to retreat sometimes to isolation, we were not created to handle isolation. If you think back to the very beginning of Scripture, the very beginning of all this thing we know is this journey of life. In Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, when God is creating the earth, he just goes about creating something and he says it's good. Right? He created the north woods, even north of you. He created the beaches along the coast of Florida, looked at it, examined it, said it was good, made mosquitoes. I am yet to figure out what was good about them, but he made them and for some reason said they were good. He made cows and said they were good. And you know, he was thinking, wait till they see what's inside of that. When they can see what a ribeye feels like when it gets married to a fire. Oh, so good. Everything that God made, he said was good. Until he made people, and then he literally broke the mold. He changed the word. He didn't say good, but he changed it and introduced a new word that's translated either very good or awesome. So everything God has made is good. And then he looks at his creation, and for the first time, something he made, he looks and says, that's not good. It's not good, God said of his creation, it's not good that man should be alone. From the very beginning, pre-fall, pre-introduction of sin or disease into the earth, you and I were not created for isolation. So if you find yourself going, man, this is tough. My friends, it's a normal reaction by a normal person to extremely abnormal situation that you and I were not created for. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 4 today. Philippians 4 verses 4 through 9. If you are around the church or have been for a while, it's a relatively common passage. It's also, in my opinion, a passage that probably as much or more than any passage in Scripture that's taken out of context, and consequently, we don't receive from it all that God would have for us. So we're going to read Philippians chapter 4. We'll start in verse 4 and read through verse 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. In many ways, this is kind of the big dog passage in the New Testament on how to handle anxiety. It says, be anxious for nothing. But before we learn how to apply a scripture like be anxious for nothing, it's important to understand a couple things about human nature and how we're designed and where anxiety comes from. So you and I are made in the image of God. Now, that doesn't mean that God is 7 feet tall, mostly balding, and dashingly handsome, though he's God, so why wouldn't he choose this? You know what I mean? But it doesn't mean that we look like God. But what it means is we are made of the same essence of God. God is three in one. He's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three separate, distinct, unique, but in full interaction, completely integrated, but with unique function. It's the mystery of the Godhead. I could spend, gosh, an entire series just unpacking that. But he's three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Your and my personality mirrors the personality of God in that we're three in one. Your personality is made up of a constant and fluid interaction, right? We interact and we view life situations through a constant and fluid interplay of three things. One is our thoughts or our mind. A life situation comes and I can have a thought about it. I can engage my mind. Simultaneously, I have actions or behaviors. Life situation comes, it's cold, I can take the physical action of putting on a jacket. And the third way I interact and view with life situations is through my emotions or my feelings. So I have thoughts, my mind, behaviors, my actions, and feelings. And these are in constant, fluid, interdependent interplay as I go through life and I view life situations and interact with life. Now, of those three, thoughts, behaviors, and feelings, I only have the ability to directly control two of those. One of those is outside of my control. I have the ability to directly control, let's start with actions, right? My behaviors. I can choose to stand up. I can choose to sit down. I can choose to speak, or I can choose to not speak. I have the ability to, I know experientially, to control what I do, and I also know it biblically. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is laid out in Galatians is self-control, the capacity to control oneself. I'm constantly commanded through scripture to behave a certain way. God wouldn't tell us to do a behavior when behavior is outside of our control. God wouldn't hold us accountable to our behavior if behavior was outside of our control. I have the capacity to control my behavior directly. I have the ability to control how I think, my mind. In fact, let's do a mind experiment, right? Right where you're sitting, I want you to close your eyes with me for just a second. And I want you to think of an apple. Form the mental conceptualization. Think of an apple. Ready, set, go. Okay. Some of you thought of that juicy red fruit, right? Some of you, maybe you chose that yellow, golden, delicious version. Some of you went right to thinking about your computer. But you and I have the ability to form a mental image. In fact, scripture tells us that we are to take every thought captive and make it obedient to the will of Christ. In other words, I can have things running through my mind, and scripture tells me that I have a responsibility and a command to grab those thoughts and go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Does that thought line up with God's word? Make it obedient to the will of Christ. If it's not what God's word and expressed will is, I have the ability to discard or choose to no longer think about those things and instead choose to think about what scripture says is true. That's amazing that I can change how I think. Now, the third one is our emotions and our feelings. And you and I do not have direct control over how we feel. Our feelings are actually a response to our thoughts and or to our actions. So think of it this, right? An action. Let's pick an action. I am out in my garage and I'm working on a project, so I'm swinging a hammer. With said hammer, I miss project and hit my thumb. Well, just don't feel that. Right? You have no choice. Feelings happen. Action causes nerve endings. Boom, and the brain explodes, screaming pain. I do not have the ability to just go, well, I'll just turn that switch off and not feel. We feel in response to actions. We feel in response to thoughts. In fact, let's do a little mind experience. Ready? All right. Close your eyes. At the count of three, I want you to feel incredibly happy. Ready? Incredibly happy at the count of three. One, two. Okay. You know what you were doing. You did an action. You started to smile. And you started to think of the happiest thought you could. Oh, my birthday, right? If we were to do it again, I said, I want you to be sad at the count of three. You're going to think about the day your dog died. You're going to think about not doing well on a test, right? You do not have a meter on emotions where I can raise them up or raise them down. What I do have is a meter on my thoughts and my actions, and my emotions move in response to actions and to behaviors. Oh, by the way, sometimes when I let my emotions, which I don't directly control, when I let that drive the train, it's going to affect how I think and how I act, because these three components of your personality want to stay integrated. So your personality desires to how I feel and how I think and how I act. When they're in perfect harmony, my personality is healthy and at rest. Even if it's not in a good place, a healthy personality is integrated. A personality disorder is when my feelings, my thoughts, and my actions start to disintegrate. So I don't know if you ever saw the Joker. That is Descent into Madness by Joaquin Phoenix. And what you see is the development of a personality disorder where he's expressing emotions that he says he's feeling, but his actions betray that. Have you ever, it kind of looks like this, right? Where I say like, oh man, I am so happy. Yay, it's my birthday. That's super exciting. Right? Even where you're sitting, you're going, That's why Joker was so disturbing, because he's expressing thoughts and emotions that aren't congruent with his actions. Or if someone's like, oh my gosh, guess what? You're not going to believe it. I'm so sad. My dog died. Yay. Like you look at that and go, like our brain codes that there's a problem with that, because we know a healthy personality is where they're all integrated. So when I'm sad and my dog dies, it should show on my physical countenance. When I'm excited because it's my birthday, it should show in my physical countenance. Now, let's talk about how this works with regards to mental health, and then we'll jump back here into Philippians chapter 4 for just a moment. But this is foundational to understanding a pathway back to health. So let's imagine I'm struggling with depression, which the depression rates are going through the roof right now all across North America, Canada and the U.S., because again, we're not created to live the way we're having to live at the moment. So depression is an emotion where it starts to kind of go dark and I start to feel sad. Now, as I start to feel sad, because my personality wants to stay integrated, I'm feeling sad, which now I start to think sad thoughts. So I'm having a tough day, and now I start to go, you know what? I'm not really good at anything. In fact, not only am I not good at anything, nobody likes me. And my actions aren't going to be like super jovial, right? It's going to start to initially show in my countenance. It's going to show in my face. Maybe my eyes start to go down. Maybe my energy level drops. And all it's doing is being a healthy, integrated personality, that where my emotion is going, so are going to go my actions and my thoughts. Now, where depression slips from I'm struggling with my mood to debilitation is where my feelings start to go so low that my thoughts start to get really dark. And I start to wonder whether the world would be better if I wasn't here. Maybe it would just be better if, I had never been born. And now my physical actions are going to start to match that mood and those thoughts, to where it's going to be really difficult to even get out of bed. I'm going to change my physical environment. I'm going to drop my shades. I'm going to stay in the dark. I'm going to, my activity is going to be exceptionally depressed. That's usually how we know depression. We start to see a change in activity. Now, how do I get out of that? Well, I've been a mental health counselor for 20 years. Early in my career, I'll never forget leading a group with men who were struggling with clinical depression. And at some point, I was just young and naive, and I just was kind of not super pastoral and super patient. And one guy was kind of going on and on and on. And I just said, dude, just stop that. Just stop feeling like that. And he literally took his shoe off and threw it at me. It was the most physical activity he had had in weeks. Because we don't have a gauge. I can't just choose to feel differently. Husband and wives, you ever had that? Well, stop feeling like that. Why are you feeling that way? You know that conversation goes nowhere. We don't choose to feel anxiety. We don't choose to feel depression. But if I don't have a direct meter, how do I change when I'm struggling in my emotional life? If my personality wants to stay integrated, could I change my thinking? And would that lift my mood? Well, we know Scripture tells us that I can literally be transformed by the renewing of my mind, which means if I'm struggling with depression and my thoughts are dark and my activity is low to match, if I could just move my thoughts, confess the Word of God, if I could start to think things that are true and contrary to my current mood, if I could consistently do it, my personality will not stay disintegrated very long. My mood will move. So I can be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I need to think differently. Now, when I'm depressed or struggling with anxiety in a debilitated sense, that's super difficult to do. From a resistance perspective, though, that's why I want to be soaking in the Word during good times so there are some truths that I can pull on. But if I was treating a person struggling with depression and we couldn't move their thinking consistently, I would get them up and physically make them move. That's basic treatment of depression. We are going to go outside in the sun for 5 minutes a day. And you take them out into the light and it's like, no, they feel like a vampire coming out, but they're, cause it's bright and it's inconsistent with their mood. But if I can change your behavior, your mood won't stay there. Either my behavior is going to fall back or the mood is going to lift. So eventually we're going to go out in the sun. We're going to go for a walk. One of the best things you can do right now, where you are, and we'll talk about this more on Saturday, is start to integrate physical activity if you haven't during this COVID and lockdown. But if I can change an activity level, it'll start to change how I feel, which, by the way, is the lordship of Christ. Christ tells me how to behave. And sometimes we think, well, I don't want to follow what God says because I don't feel like it. Well, I'm not to be led by how I feel. I'm to be led by what God says is true. So I can choose to act according to the lordship of Jesus. I can do what the Bible says to do. Even if I don't feel like it, eventually my mood will catch up in a healthy personality because it wants to stay integrated. All right, hopefully this makes sense. We have actions, thoughts, feelings. To change my emotions and my feelings, I have to do so indirectly by how I think and by how I act. Now, with that lens, let's take a look at this scripture and hopefully we can understand what it's saying to us. Starts off in verse 4, Philippians chapter 4, and says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Now, that is a command. It is an activity that I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to live toward God, live in light of God, where a thank you is quick. Oh Lord, thank you that I have breath in my lungs today. That's part of rejoicing. Oh Lord, thank you that my car started when it's freezing and my battery is not dead. Oh Lord, thank you that my family is together with me, even if we're driving each other nuts. Thank you. So a rejoicing, a thanks is quick. And I'm quick to yield to God. I'm quick to celebrate. And I want to live every day with sort of a front of mind notion that God is great and God is for you. I know this about your pastors. They know for a fact that God is great, and they believe he is for you, and they believe in you. And when they tell you that, don't just go, oh, yeah, yeah, that's just what Pastor Bird and Pastor Sheila do. They're just encouragers. No, no, no. Receive that. God is great. God is for me. And I want to live with that front of mind. And I'm going to make the choice of rejoicing. Lord, thank you for this. Oh, God, man, I say this all the time when I sit down to a meal. You don't become 7 feet tall or 2 meters 11 in your context without eating a lot. And I'll sit down and first bite. I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord, for this amazing cheeseburger. Right? That rejoicing is quick. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And he says, again, I say rejoice. Why does he tell us again? Because it's hard. Because sometimes we don't feel like it. And sometimes when we don't feel thankful and we act thankfully, we feel like a hypocrite. But I want to tell you, it's not hypocritical to do what God says when you don't feel like it. It's not hypocrisy. It's faith. That I will obey what God says even when I don't want to and even when I don't feel like it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says that we walk by faith, not by sight. So by faith, I'm going to rejoice even when I don't feel thankful. By faith, I'm going to rejoice for my ex-spouse even though I'd rather, you know, calamity befall them. By faith, I'm going to be happy that my teammate is getting out on the ice before me, but I'm going to thank God for my health in the process and for the victory, even if I didn't get to contribute in the role that I thought. All right. This is a key, proactive first step. Goes on and says this in verse 5. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Here's the first part of that. The Lord is at hand. He's close. Let's back our way into this. He's close. He's never left you. He's never forsaken you. No matter how depressed, no matter how much anxiety this COVID situation has caused for you, no matter how much discomfort or dismay it's put in your soul, God is close. And look what it says, because he's close, let your gentleness be known to all men. Letting your gentleness be known, that's an action. So there's a way I'm to behave in my anxiety. When I'm anxious, I'm tempted to snap. I'm tempted to be short. I'm tempted to just be snarky. I'm tempted to be sarcastic. I'm tempted to go, fine, whatever, and walk away. And what this passage says is even when I feel anxious, and that is my natural response, it says, let my gentleness show. So what's happening on the inside of anxiety and stress and freaking out? He says, do not let that come to the outside. To choose a different action, even if it's inconsistent with what's happening on the inside, because what's happening on the inside is turmoil. So I'm going to act calm. And I'm going to act gently. And you're tempted to say, well, Pastor Keith, isn't that just an act? It's an action. I have the capacity, no matter how anxious I am on the inside, to choose to behave calmly on the outside. And what will happen is my mood will eventually mesh. I have a friend who's a Navy, U.S. Navy SEAL, and these are in our, here in the U.S., the most elite warriors we have. And one of their kind of sayings as they're working out is they say, in difficult situations, when the going gets tough, the tough relax. So when situations, the crazier stuff gets around Navy SEALs, the more calmly they act on the outside. Because they understand if they can act calmly on the outside, it will simultaneously start to calm the inside. But I don't let what's going on in the inside start to dictate what's happening on the outside. So the first thing this passage is telling us is take a breath, understand that God is near. And no matter how I'm feeling on the inside, I'm going to take deliberate, gentle actions on the outside. Then it goes on and says this in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We're told in Scripture how to think, commanded. We're commanded how to act. Nowhere were we actually, in all of Scripture, actually commanded how to feel. Now, you might want to point to this one and say, no, it tells you how to feel. Be anxious for nothing. But it's actually not a command on how to feel. If it was, it would be super cold-hearted of God. Because think about this. If I'm anxious, I'm stressed out, I'm nervous, I'm saying, hey, would you pray for me because I'm nervous? And then you go, you take what we call in professional counseling, take two scriptures and call me in the morning. Sure, you're anxious. Here's a verse that says, don't be anxious. Well, guess what just happened? Not only was I anxious, now I know God doesn't want me to be anxious. I just spiked my anxiety even higher if he's commanding me how to feel, and I can't figure out where that gauge is on how to feel. Telling someone, oh, here, take this scripture when they're already feeling anxious is difficult. And that's where I mentioned earlier, it gets misapplied. Don't be anxious. The Bible says don't be anxious. That's not what it says. It's not telling you how to feel. It's telling you what's possible. You and I can live, even in COVID, in a manner where anxiety does not rule the day. It is possible to live in a way where anxiety is not debilitating. He says, be anxious for nothing. And here's the key phrase, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, look at what's happening here. He's addressing a feeling that's common to all of us, anxiety. It's through the roof right now. It's through the roof in Canada. It's through the roof here in the U.S. Anxiety is high. He says, look, I'm going to help you with anxiety. It's possible to not. Here's what you do. And he immediately goes to thoughts and actions. Here's an action. In everything, by prayer, thanksgiving, make your request known to God. So one of the things I can do when I'm over here in anxiety and my stomach is tight and my mind is stressed and I'm not sleeping well is I can choose an action called prayer and presenting requests to God. Now, here's what typically happens when someone is struggling with anxiety and you talk to them about praying. They start praying about the anxiety, right? So it goes like this. Oh, Lord, you know I'm anxious. You know, God, I'm super anxious. God, you know I'm stressed. I know this verse says I should just pray to you and you'll take the anxiety away. Gosh, why is the anxiety still going up? And now I start talking to God about being anxious. And God, I'm so anxious. Help me not be anxious. God, take my anxiety away. And I've prayed myself to higher anxiety. And then the anxiety is not gone. And now what I'm like, oh, on top of this, God doesn't want me to be anxious. And now he doesn't answer my prayer. What do I do? It's not what this text says. It doesn't tell you to pray about your anxiety. It actually says to think about those things that are causing me anxiety and present those requests to God. I have two children. They go to college. The closest one is a 9-hour drive from where I live. The other one's about a 22-hour drive. Beautiful daughters. So thankful to God that they look like their mother and not me. And they're very godly young ladies, but when we dropped them off to college, I was a little bit anxious. Are they going to find a good church? Are they going to build good friendships? Are they going to abandon everything that they have been told is true for some way of life that is inconsistent with Scripture? And I found myself anxious. And I could have just prayed, Lord, I'm anxious. Take away this anxiety. But can I tell you, being anxious when I'm thinking about my daughters away at college is super normal. It's the most normal thing in the world. So what this text tells me to do is in everything, through prayer and supplication, So I need to start thinking through those things that are naturally and normally causing me anxiety. So rather than pray about the emotion I'm experiencing, I start praying about those thoughts that are causing me to be anxious. So it looks a little more like this. Father, I know you love those girls more than you love me. I know, God, you gave us a stewardship for the last 18 years. Father, I pray that you would be with them today. God, I pray that you would lead them, guide them, direct them. God, I pray that you would speak to them. Father, I pray that the firm foundation that they have in you, God, that they would stand fast to that. God, I pray every friend that would come around and with ill intent toward them, God, you'd push them away in Jesus' name. And God, I ask that you would bring them incredible friendship. See what I'm doing? I'm thinking through normal things that cause me anxiety, and I'm presenting those requests to God. The thought process of I'm anxious about this upcoming test. Lord, I pray, God, you'd help me with my night's sleep tonight because I'm nervous about this test. God, I pray that you'd help those answers come quickly to mind in the name of Jesus. God, that all the preparation, Father, let me not forget one thing. And I take those requests and I bring them to God. And as I bring those requests to God, I unburden myself to him. Look what it says. Verse 7, as I'm doing that, and as I'm thinking by faith, which is different than how I feel, as I'm acting and praying by faith, which is different than how I feel, he says something will happen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, I sort of know how this works. I'm anxious, which means I'm having anxious thoughts and I'm having anxious actions. I can change my actions. I can pray in faith. I can think through all those things that are causing me anxiety and present those to God. And I know that as I do and think differently, my mood will move to where it is. So my personality stays integrated. I know that to be true. I don't really know why God made it that way. And I don't fully understand all the intricacies despite 20 years as a mental health counselor. But here's what I know. I don't have to understand why that works. Because he says right here, the peace of God, it actually surpasses my understanding. So if you don't understand how that works, but you just apply it and it works, good. It surpasses my ability to really understand why he made me that way, but it doesn't matter. It changes. And look what it says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard my heart and my mind, my thought life, in Christ Jesus. The word there for guard literally means to stand sentry. So I would literally stand like an armed centurion outside of the vault, right? And what does a guard do? Guard does a couple things. A guard protects what's valuable on the inside. I stand outside the palace because inside is a treasure. So literally, the peace of God will guard the deposit of peace now in my heart. So as I choose to do what he says, as I choose to think in accordance with the word of God, he will transform my anxiety from me and bring me something different that he calls peace. And then he stands guard to make sure it stays in there. Here's the other thing a guard does is it keeps ill intent out, right? I stand here. So everything that would want to come in and invade the peace can't get past. He locks it in and he forbids anything from coming and stealing and taking. That's brilliant, my friends, that the peace of God would himself, Jesus Christ as SEAL Team 6, Jesus Christ as a Canadian Mountie, would stand and guard the calmness of a heart. When I choose to obey what he says through the Lordship and bring requests to him, and I choose to obey his word and let it renew and change my mind, he will take care of my mood. I do what he says. I think like he tells me to think. He guards the mood. Now, you might be thinking, well, that's easy for the Apostle Paul to say. He wasn't living through a global pandemic. He wasn't trying to figure out how to get his children into the greatest preschool. He wasn't worried about whether his children would get into a great college. He wasn't married to the spouse that I'm spending too much time with and struggling with. And I would say that's true. But he did write these words from a prison cell where he was thrown in for causing a riot in Acts chapter 16. And Paul is writing from a prison cell in Rome to a Philippian church that he planted out of a riot and got thrown in with Silas. You might be familiar with that story in Acts chapter 16, where he was in the bottom, dank, most funky, disgusting part of a cell, chained to this man. And the scripture says that what did they do in that moment? I forget. They rejoiced. So when he tells you to rejoice, my friends, he's rejoiced from the most difficult places that a human could be. Isolated, left alone, in total bondage and darkness. And from that prison cell in Acts chapter 16, he began to worship. And I know you're familiar with the rest of the story. God broke into the prison to enjoy the worship. So I know it's difficult in Canada. I get it. Paul gets it. And this isn't just for, kind of when things are light. This is for all times when I'm struggling to get a hold of my mood, be it depression, be it anxiety. Act in accordance with the Lordship of Christ. Renew my mind through Scripture. And my friends, if you'll do that with consistency, your mood will change. The passage goes on in verse 8 and says this, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true," look at this list, "whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, lovely, whatever things are good report, virtuous, praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Think about these things. Do you know how hard it is to struggle with anxiety when I'm thinking about all the things that are just and lovely and praiseworthy? If I'm meditating on focusing, sitting in deep thought about that which is lovely in the world, it's hard to also be anxious. And Paul says, find what's good. Find what's true. And if you can't find it around you, open the Word of God, because it is filled with unspeakable beauty in the person of Christ. We're to fix our thinking in these areas. And then he concludes with this thought, and it's the same thought I'll conclude with. The things which you learned and received and heard in me, these, watch this, do. And another promise, and the God of peace will be with you. Think on what's true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, praiseworthy. Think about those things. And then whatever you've learned and heard and received, in this case from the Apostle Paul, whatever you've learned, heard, received from God, from Pastor Bert, from Pastor Sheila, take those things and do them. Consistently act. Consistently think, and if you do, the peace of God, the God of peace, will take care of our emotional conditions. You and I can actually be anxious for nothing. It's not a command that makes our stress go up. It's a promise from God that He watches over our emotions. My friends, let me pray for you. We just scratched the surface. We're going to deep dive on Saturday into all of these. And I really hope you're there. I look forward to interacting with you as face-to-face as Zoom will allow us, and having some really good conversation and really good discussion on both mental and emotional health. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for these great saints here at Every Nation GTA. Man, Lord, what an incredible church having the important conversations. And Father, I pray for each watcher, each listener, each person that's participating in this church and participating throughout this series. Oh God, would you, as the God of peace, grant the peace of God exactly as you lay out here in your word? That Father, as they bring requests and burdens and think through those things that are causing them distress, Father, would you do as Jesus said and take off of them those burdens? And Father, would you, in fact, guard their hearts, guard their minds with the peace that comes from the living God. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.